Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Happy to be joined this hour by Tom E. Curran, NBCSN, NBC Sports Boston, I should say. Brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. at 1-800-GET-HAIR. You know, it is sometimes a bit of an adventure covering the Patriots, Tom, and this was another one of those mornings today where things just seemed a little weird, didn't they?
Lucky to do it, though. Imagine covering, like, the Arizona Cardinals, Cleveland Browns, or any other team. I mean, that's really the great thing about covering this team. Not only what it's done over the course of time, but that there's always something that challenges you, you know, and it's a joust. So, yeah, the Josh Gordon transaction is official everywhere but in the mind of Bill Belichick, and I find it interesting on a few different fronts, and I have a theory, if you want me to.
Let's hear the theory, Tom. Yeah. Lay it on us.
All right, and this is an unsubstantiated spitballing. Why has it gotten to this point? Just covering the team as long as I have. Belichick likes to do his transactions in a particular way. He wants to be able to have every I dotted and T crossed, and when it's okay with him, it will be announced. The Cleveland Browns sent out a release on Monday night after having announced that they were going to release the player. Despite the fact that many in the media had run with it, including Adam Schefter, who is, you know, I think I'm not telling any secrets out of school, is a Patriot friendly. And a lot of other people here were able to confirm that it was done. The Patriots don't like that happening. They don't want it announced by the other team until they've had a chance to examine the player, evaluate the player, give them a physical, and make their decisions. So the Patriots release, while it came from the media relations department, was reactive to the Cleveland release so that the Patriots didn't look like morons in the media relations department. But I'm feeling that Belichick is doing this with John Dorsey. How about this? This transaction's done when I say it's done.
How about that?
You're not in charge of this.
He's trying to strong arm. He's trying to win the deal before a player even takes a snap is what it looks like.
I would not, and again, spitballing, theorizing, but he likes to deal with general managers, teams, and coaches who do things the way he does. And I think that this getting out the way it did prior to the Patriots even having him in the building as a done deal probably pissed him off.
That's as good of a theory that we've heard.
You don't think there was any tweaking to the deal being done here today?
Oh, no, I definitely do, and I think that's probably part of it. How about this, guys? How about we're going to tweak this deal, and one way or another, you're going to give us a seventh-round pick. And if you don't like that, you could take him back, this player that you already said you were going to release 7 days ago.
But what I'm confused by, Tom, and
so he's got him over a barrel, Dale, is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, but maybe none of this will matter, and it shouldn't. We can get to other things, but I'm still hung up on if both teams announce it and the league announces it, even if you want to tweak it, how can you do that? Isn't it already official at that point?
Well, until they've signed off on the player's physical and everything is checked off, they can do whatever they want.
Do you remember anything like this?
I mean, do you think that Bill Belichick is ever going to see a transaction move across the league wire and say, oh, well, I guess I'm trapped now? He's happy. He is elated to be able to make it look like, you know what? I'll say it's done when it's done.
Has this happened before since you've been covering the team?
Jamal Anderson.
Jamal Anderson in
2004 or 5, Dale. I don't know if you remember which year it was, but he was on the verge of being signed, and it was reported everywhere. And then when I circled up to confirm it, I remember I got a, don't go with that yet. That's not done. And what ended up is he failed his physical, but those were, it was kind of, to a degree, pre-internet. So, you know, people were trying to stuff it back in and fix it in the paper because it was, you know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock when we were finding out, no, it's not done. And the Patriots are saying it's not done. So I referenced that in the press conference today and brought that up because that has always been, to me, their shining example of it's not done until it's done.
Is it your opinion that there's at least a possibility, if not a probability, that he could play Sunday night in Detroit?
There's a possibility. I think with each passing practice that he's not involved, it becomes a slimmer likelihood, and his package of plays would shrink. But as Mike Lombardi told us on Quick Slants last night, you just put him in at the X or the Z receiver position, which is that perimeter spot, and keep it very simple, and there's a small package of plays that you can involve him in. Whether you even throw it to him doesn't make as big a difference as the fact that you now have to account for him because you've seen video as the Detroit Lions that says, well, he will catch it, whereas Cordarrelle Patterson, you might not.
Now, how do you think Tom Brady feels about this? Because I think a lot of fans, even myself included, would say, hey, why wouldn't you want a top five talent? This is great. Or does he look at it as, oh, my God, another wide receiver that you want me to try to get on the same page with? As talented as he is, we know he's not super reliable, and it's already week three.
I wrote something yesterday. I said the jury's not out. He hasn't even begun to hear Josh Gordon's opening arguments. So show me something. Mm-hmm. Show up. Shake my hand and then go out and show me what you can do as a wide receiver. So I think what Brady would like, if you told him you can have Philip Dorsett or Josh Gordon over the next 3 weeks, he'd say, I'll take Philip Dorsett. He knows where he's supposed to be. And I thought that his comments, Brady's to Jim Gray, were very telling when he talked about trust, and you can't have a guy who's 50-50. He's there sometimes and other times he's not there. You need to know where people are going to be. I think Brady's main interest right now is not being just extremely, he just wants Edelman back, period. Right. I don't care who else you bring back. I don't care who else is out there. Just give me Julian and I'm fine.
Why is it that an organization that is as successful as the Patriots, as proficient as the Patriots, continually get held hostage by the wide receiver position?
You know, it's a good question, and I know that you're phrasing it that way, but I think every team in the league would love to be held hostage in the way that they've been. You know, we have the success that
they're
they
just
do.
Awful at this position, though.
Well, they're awful at drafting it. But
that's what I mean.
Staff it.
They end up having to acquire them in a trade because they can't draft and develop one.
But do you get negative points for doing that? I mean, I know what you're saying. It's a pain in the ass when you draft a Malcolm Mitchell in the fourth round who's been injured, and then he gets injured and he can't play, or Aaron Dobson, or Josh Boyce, or Chad Jackson, or PK Sam. You name it. But it doesn't matter if you get them via trade or draft if when they get out there, they're competent enough to help you get to the Super Bowl. I'm with you. It's absurd how ineffective they've been. But on the other hand, too, you don't get downgraded if Julian Edelman was a seventh-round pick and works out for you, or if Danny Amendola was overpaid but ended up being valuable. I do know what you're saying. They suck at it. They're not good drafting it. But if they eventually get some people in here who can do it, I get it. As for, and I'm blabbing here, but
they sound great.
Good, because that's how I get that Opal app.
Yeah, you do, crystal clear.
But as for, you know, why don't they have this solved by now? Earlier this week, I theorized this. Should have kept Brandon Cooks. Now, I know that he signed a fat contract, and you wanted to get some collateral for him before, and you got a one back, and that's terrific. But if you just maximize Jimmy Garoppolo last year, either before the draft or even at the trade deadline, you might have gotten the one that you had to get from the Rams. And then you could have waited out and seen if Jordan Matthews or Cordarrelle Patterson or Malcolm Mitchell were able to either A, make the team, or B, productive. So I feel as if they probably could have waited a little bit longer with Cooks, and that's certainly 2020 hindsight. But I think that there's a lot of dominoes that fall around the roster that lead to this as well.
Now, obviously caught up with or lost in all the Josh Gordon news is Cyrus Jones is back.
And this, love it.
Now, you do. So you do love this.
I do.
Okay, why?
He doesn't suck. Everything that went wrong with him happened because he got Steve Sachs disease. Guy, he's the second best punt returner in the history of Alabama football with Javier Arenas. We've seen enough. I mean, you've seen him tear off and make really good plays, Rich, you know, on punt returns.
Yeah.
His decision-making sucked. He's just got to get better at it.
But it wasn't just decision-making. He just, like, multiple times he couldn't hold on to the ball. And either he wouldn't catch it or he would, and then he would fumble it. And it was like, okay, if you can't do that, and then you could speak better than I could, but maybe I'm just looking at some of the lowlights when he was giving up big plays when he was asked to be a corner. I don't know how where he slots in there either.
This is stupid, but watching him in pregame,
okay,
watching him in pregame's workout with the other corners, watching his athleticism, his leaping ability, I think that he's really, really, really good. And I think all his problems are related to what's between his ears over the last 2 years. And I think that crisis of confidence happened because he's like, dude, I went to Alabama.
Right.
That's the, as one of the coaches here told me when we were talking to him, he goes, look, people look at Alabama as the 33rd NFL team. And sometimes guys from that franchise,
sometimes guys from that program
get to the NFL and they're surprised that there's a huge difference between the 33rd NFL franchise and the other 32. And sometimes guys have to get slapped over the head with it. And maybe Cyrus Jones has had that happen. I would bet on that kid. I really would. Hmm.
There is a new book coming out September 25th. None of us have read it yet, but we've read excerpts and we've heard interviews with its author, Ian O'Connor. Not everything in there is new. We've known some of this stuff in the past. I will say this. My guess is that Tom Brady is sitting there either in his stall or when he gets home at night and thinking, I want to know who the assistant coach is who thinks that I'm only as good as the 15th best quarterback in the league.
I bet he's probably figured it out by now.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that speaks to, but you know what it does speak to is the power struggle that, you know, has been alluded to. I mean, nothing that Ian's writing unveiled about, you know, a divorce or Brady being hopeful to have, you know, moved on in a perfect world this past off season is that far different from what I've reported over the, you know, last several months or, you know, what Mark Leibovich had at the end of his book, that if the Patriots had made him a free agent, that's in the final pages, Brady would have been happy with that. I mean, it was very much, you know, he's not happy with the way things went over the last 18 months here. And some of that might be because he didn't do a good enough job communicating what his expectations were and what he wanted. And certainly some of that is the Patriots, you know, really wanting Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed him. And I think in some respects, too, feeling as if he was replaceable. So there's so many different tumblers, but I think this is just further amplification that, yeah, they got issues. But I think, how much do you guys think people are of a mind that they still want to hear about these issues that we all know now exist and just want to move on? Because I get so much pushback on it that I'm like, I got to cover it. I got to write about it because it's a historic team. But I do understand where people are coming from. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's worth discussing. Every time you get like a new nugget, like it's hard to rehash old stuff because I think we've done so much of that. But you look at, is it going to affect what happens on Sunday? Like, is the relationship so bad where all of a sudden they're going to lose games because of it? And it's definitely not gotten to that point. So I think a lot of fans already don't care.
And I totally believe, Rich, that they're already through the worst of it. They're at the uneasy truce part where, look, I understand you. You understand me. You got really pissed off about X, Y, and Z. I didn't like the way you did H, I, and J, but let's move on. And I think that that's probably what is going to happen.
How much of it, of Josh McDaniels being back, do you think is less to do with, you know, coach and waiting and more to do with need him there? Like, he's the only other guy that could sort of get in between Belichick and Brady.
Zero.
Not even, like Josh, not even a little bit?
No, I think Josh McDaniels is a coach.
You're making him sad. You're making him sad, Tommy.
That was my big conspiracy there. I thought they were trying to make Brady happy by bringing McDaniels back, no?
No, I think that Josh McDaniels' number one allegiance is to Bill Belichick and the coaching staff and the success of the team and propagating the success of the team. And when he becomes head coach, as great as the relationship with Tom has been over the years, I think that Josh will still be of a mind that I want to do what's best for the team. And that might mirror what Bill Belichick's view is, which is to get a young quarterback that you can develop.
On Monday, we kind of went through some of the examples in recent memory of the Patriots coughing up a furball in the first 4 weeks, 5 weeks of the regular season and getting beat sometimes by a fair amount. Mm-hmm. How much of what we saw Sunday was just a continuation of that, or is there something deeper and more troubling here?
I don't think they're going to be as good this year as they've been in years past. That said, I don't think that there is anything more troubling going on. I think they're going to fix it. I think they're going to be much better defensively. When you look at the mistakes that were made defensively, those were not mistakes that were made because they can't do it. It's mistakes that were made because they couldn't do it. And I think that offensively, they played kind of tentative. You can't withstand, you know, their wide receiver group isn't good. You know that. I know that. Everybody watching saw that the other day. I didn't find their offensive performance a big surprise on Sunday at all. But the defensive performance surprised me. But I still think that they're going to be. I don't think that there's any – there's no wave, you know, massing off a shore that's going to hit the shores here and inundate the team and they go 9-7 or 8-8. Somebody quits in the middle of the year. I think they're past that.
Or at halftime or something like that. What did you think of Sony Michel's debut, and what do you expect out of him going forward?
I thought it was interesting to see how much they gave it to him right out of the chutes. Yeah. And I was very impressed at one point by a blitz pickup on Calais Campbell early in the game. He took him down. You know, he cut him and took him down. It was a really good play, and I'm not even sure if he was supposed to be picking him up. So those two things really spoke well of him. And I like the way he ran the ball. So it's good. Look, if all things being equal, if you give him a nice running start, he might end up being a better running back than Rex Burkhead, who I expected to be their leaned upon back early in the year.
There's been a lot of talk this week out of issues in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin and, you know, Antonio Brown not showing up for practice on Monday, not showing up at the facility. How much of a train wreck do you think the Steelers are right now?
Huge. Embarrassing. And my feeling is if the Steelers weren't part of their DNA to remain so loyal to coaches, if it was another franchise that hadn't had just Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin since 1970, then they might have moved on from him by now, because I believe that he's enabled a lot of these players to not just Antonio Brown, not just Le'Veon Bell, but Ben Roethlisberger. You know, and it's those guys have taken advantage of Mike Tomlin's goodwill, I think, and, you know, fraternization level with the players that you never see in New England to an extent where it's hard to rein them back in.
Now, depending on what happens on Sunday, the Detroit Lions could certainly start the year 0-3. They had winning records the last couple of seasons. I know it is insane to not give a new head coach more than a year, but do you think in Detroit they would start to think about it?
It's hard because he's got 2 years guaranteed out of the chutes, and you would just be acknowledging that not only did we miss on the head coach, but the GM's a moron too. And he also came from New England, and he's
right.
But it's hard to go 9-7, 9-7, 9-7 with the cigar store Indian Jim Caldwell on the sidelines and then go 6-10 and regress offensively with Matt Patricia. But, you know, Matt, I always felt he'd be overmatched if he got a head coaching job. And I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if this season doesn't get worse before it gets better.
So I would guess that you're expecting the Patriots probably win here Sunday night.
Yes, because, you know, it'd be one thing to go to a place that had a tradition and, you know, you get the momentum, or if I think the fans could turn on them real quick, but the Patriots cannot start the way they did against Jacksonville last week.
Final question before we let you go. Put a percentage on it. What's the percentage possibility that you get an opportunity and the other members of the media get an opportunity to talk to Josh Gordon this afternoon after practice?
Zero.
Oh, yeah. Zero.
Less
right.
than zero,
yeah.
right?
Zero. You know, it's funny, too, because, you know, by the letter of the law, according to the NFL, the CBA, the agreement is that we talk to a player once during the week leading up, and he has to be available after the football game. Now, you know, we don't generally run around with a notepad out and say, well, I didn't see Ted Karras after the game. But, you know, this is one of those situations where you don't want to do that. I think as a media group, you want to try and have a more collegial. This is the way I've felt you do a better job, more collegial relationship with the team and the coach. We're all trying to get things done in the right way. But, you know, I would count low odds as us being able to get a run at Josh Gordon at any point in the next 4 days, unfortunately.
I did say it was the last question, but you've led me to another one. And, well, and I'm just asking an opinion here. We've all expressed our own opinions. Do you think this is going to work?
Yeah.
Yes, Tom. Yes.
I think he'll help him win some games.
Nice. Love that.
I think
you're
the upside
so strong
will outweigh
with that
the downside. The upside will outweigh the downside, but eventually Josh will return to being Josh.
Well,
probably before 2020.
I'll take the good stuff, though. I'll take it.
It'll be fun.
Good.
It'll be fun.
Good.
Tom, we appreciate it as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care, guys.
See ya. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us from down at Gillette Stadium. That little Opalap thing there. He sounds better than we do.
Yeah, he does. You're looking at
Can
that.
We just talk on the Opalap from now on, Jason? Can we just get those in here? And
I think you guys are
it?
Breaking down a fourth wall.
Yeah, it's a little inside radio there. That's not just a phone, or it is a phone, but with
it's
an
a
app
phone.
Involved. Technology, right?
The only thing with that is sometimes it sounds really good, like today.
Yeah, other times you're right.
Yeah, not so much.
If he gets a call or a text message.
Yeah, and it depends on the Wi-Fi strength. It's a whole thing.
Tommy, you like using that?
Yeah.
Let's be
That's
honest.
Good to have.
His hesitation before he answered made you a little nervous.
I wasn't sure, but he broke the tie, and so it's the yeses have it.
Although he does.
Josh Gordon's going to be successful.
He is
here.
Of the opinion that eventually he's going to return to being Josh Gordon.
Well, sadly, that's probably the case.
Probably
but
true.
But for the Patriots' sake, and I know you're separating just the player and the actual person, the Patriots aren't committing to 5 years of Josh
Gordon.
Right. They're trying to get 5 months out of him.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, and this is an unsubstantiated spitballing. Why has it gotten to this point? Just covering the team as long as I have. Belichick likes to do his transactions in a particular way. He wants to be able to have every I dotted and T crossed, and when it's okay with him, it will be announced.
It was actually a pretty good theory on his part. Tommy Curran suggesting why this thing was held off. Somebody just said to me in the hallway a moment ago, said, Bill Belichick took it next level. While he's standing at the podium denying the existence of Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon was 100 feet away getting dressed to go to practice.
Right, he was like getting his stuff on. Like he had his uniform or his practice uniform ready to go. He was all set, and he had to have known he was going to be a part of practice. You think Belichick walked out onto the field and was surprised? He goes, oh, look,
whoa.
I better go introduce
who's
myself.
Who's that number 10?
I better go find out who this gentleman is. No, I think he had a pretty good idea. But Curran's, that's a great theory that – and maybe one of the reasons why.
And I could see Bill saying, really? You want to play these games with me?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Here's the only way I sign off on this deal. It's now Josh Gordon and a seventh.
Well, hence why he likes to do deals with certain teams. You know, and maybe it goes back to even the San Francisco deal, how quickly that deal got done. Because he likes working with those guys. He trusts those guys.
We were talking about the Ian O'Connor book as well. And I mentioned there's a point in there where an unnamed Patriots assistant coach said that, you know, Tom Brady's not all that. I mean, Robert Kraft thinks he's the greatest thing ever, but, you know, the coaches don't think that.
Right.
That we could have the 15th best quarterback in the NFL and do what we did. And I heard Jerry make this point this morning. I think he even brought it up to Ian O'Connor. A Twitter follower brought it up as well. What do you think the chances are it was Chris Sims?
Chris
Sims?
Who,
by the way, rips Brady and the Patriots
every
opportunity he ever gets.
All the time.
Now, was he technically an assistant coach here?
That's a good question. Yeah, he was. He was a coaching assistant in 2012 with the Patriots.
I mean, let's be honest.
So I guess technically
it does sort of read like Chris Sims, doesn't it?
I don't think it's Bill O'Brien or Josh McDaniels or Charlie Weiss.
No, I mean,
those are his coordinators.
They all love that guy.
I don't think that it was him. I guess that's kind of lame, isn't it? Because he's technically, that's true. He was a coaching assistant.
Yep.
So if you have a source and you said, I heard from a former, or he didn't even just say former, he just said a New England assistant. Yeah, I guess that's true. But that'd be kind of lame if it was him. He's always bashing.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense?
But he'd go a step further. He'd say,
he can't play, you know.
Any NFL quarterback, look what he did with Castle.
Well, but then he'd know he'd sound just stupid if he went that far.
But
I mean, Chris Sims makes so much sense. Now,
I was in and out
of stuff earlier, so I didn't hear O'Connor's answer when Jerry brought it up to him. I mean, you're obviously not going to give up your sources, right?
Yeah, you're not going to do that. You can try, like with Wickersham or with anybody. You could try, but if he wanted to give up the sources, he would in the book.
But would you at least, and let's just say it isn't Chris Sims, if you're Ian O'Connor, would you say, look, I'm not going to tell you who my source is, but I'm going to tell you it's not him?
I would, yeah, because it's more juicy if it's not him. Then it's somebody that was probably really on the staff.
Somebody who actually, you know, like coached and stuff.
Yeah, I was on there for, you know, multiple seasons or somebody.
Am I going to sit here and say at the age of 40 that he's the best quarterback in football or maybe better than the guys that are ahead of him, which we'll see how they're ranked? No, I am not.
Thanks, Chris Sims.
Yeah, something must have happened.
It does sort of make sense, doesn't it?
But something happened while he was here, right? Brady didn't sit with him at lunch or like something. Brady offended Sims somehow because he has been one of the big time Tom Brady specific haters.
Oh, hates him.
And just, you know, ranks a million guys ahead of him. We don't need to go through all the lists.
When I heard Jerry's theory, I thought, you know what?
He's onto something there.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
It just stinks because when you hear a former assistant, your mind immediately goes to the bigger name guys. You know, even if it's
like you think of guys like Billy O'Brien or.
Yeah, or even like Romeo Crennel or Eric Mangini, for God's sakes, Patricia. You think of somebody like at a higher level, but the truth is there's been a million different coaches in and out. And so Chris Sims does fit that. That's on his resume, you know, coaching assistant. So, yeah, maybe it was him.
Wait, we might be onto something. Chris Sims was on his podcast talking about Josh Gordon joining the Patriots and had this to say.
He's going to walk in the building. There's going to be zero parade for him. No one's going to give a damn he walked in the building.
It's Josh Gordon.
Yeah, right. Like, it's literally, he's going to walk in and be like, man, do they even know I'm here?
There he is. Chris. What's Chris Sims' podcast? Does that have a name? Do you know? Don't worry about it.
I don't think
I'll GM be Sims Street. And LaFork or something like that.
Sims and LaFork. Two of the best.
But he's saying that, like, oh, they don't care about when big players come in there.
Okay. But I think that's actually true.
It might be. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think that Sims taking a shot. It's, you know, pretty. They've got some pretty big name players in the locker room already.
And they brought in a bunch.
Yeah,
and you don't need to roll out the red
carpet.
By the way,
you come in and become part of this group. We're not going to change the group to accommodate you.
And I think, yeah, you'd be sending the wrong message right away too if you did the whole thing where, like, in Cleveland, he can do whatever he wants.
Oh, thank God, Josh, you're here.
Yeah, whoa, you saved the season. Like, no, they're going to be
see these other wide receivers. They all suck.
Like, they could get rid of anybody with the exception of Brady and maybe Gronk, and they'd be fine. Like, they might not win the Super Bowl, but they'd still be a playoff team, whereas these other teams are much more desperate to have the all-pro talent.
In the building.
It's Josh Gordon.
Right.
I mean, the other
LaFleur guy, he's pretty good.
The other guest, a texter guest, would Eric Mangini say that? And I don't think so.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
If I'm Eric Mangini, I never say anything bad about the Patriots again the rest of my life.
Well,
and he basically doesn't. But, he almost doesn't.
No, that's true. But I don't think it obviously comes across as a rip of Tom Brady or criticism of Tom Brady. But I think it is also more propping up the coaches, don't you think? If you say, you know, if you gave us any top 15 quarterback, we could do it. That's more putting the coaches over. I mean, like, we think, you know, because the defense is going to be whatever that is. And then the rest of the offense, they're going to find a way to put a guy in that position to succeed. I think it's more just Bill Belichick's confidence and whoever the coordinators are that they can take somebody that he's not the only reason why they have won as much as they have. I think that's another way to look at it.
I like the Chris Sims theory the best.
Because I can't imagine who else it would be.
I'd have to, you know, it's been a while, so we'll have to see if that develops that way and how, you know, how it comes along here as we go forward.
You know what?
Maybe, I don't think it was him.
You know what? Maybe McDaniel said it by accident. Maybe he got himself so tongue-tied that he ended up just saying it, and Ian O'Connor was like, really? Oh, okay, I'm going to go with that. But he didn't mean it. He just sort of fell into it when he was putting words together.
How would you rate Josh Gordon as a perimeter player?
Been a lot of conversation about that. I know what Coach,
there hasn't been any.
Coach said.
There hasn't been any conversation about that.
He referenced that whole thing. So I'd have to, you know, it's been a while, so we'll have to see if that develops that way and how, you know, how it comes along here as we go forward.
Yeah, I don't know. So maybe it was him, but again, he probably didn't mean it that way. That's what I think.
I guess the question at this point becomes, now see, the next time anybody in the media gets to talk to a coach is Friday, and that's Belichick.
I'm sure he's going to make up for lost time. I'm sure he's going to talk about Josh Gordon really just nonstop. He's going to give a lot of really long-winded answers, or he's going to say, look, guys, it's been two practices. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see. We did it to make the team better. What was the holdup?
Yeah, I don't know. We're still trying to learn everybody's names.
We needed to finalize it. We just needed to finalize it. I'm like, okay. So there it is.
Well, if in fact we find out that the deal has been tweaked, then technically Bill may be right.
Yeah, maybe.
If it's been tweaked.
Which, who knows? Maybe we'll find out in six months. Maybe 6 months we'll find out what the exact deal is. But we can put all that behind us because now Josh Gordon is on the Patriots and he's practicing today. So good news ahead.
All right. So this morning, Ian O'Connor, talking about his book, which isn't out yet, which kind of rips the Patriots from stem to stern. He was on with Jerry Callahan. Mutt was here. Reamer was here. And I think they asked him about who this unnamed assistant coach was.
A big market for your book. We talked about it in the first hour of the program. Immediately got phone calls from our sleuths saying that is Chris Sims, because Sims was on the staff. He was an assistant. And he doesn't like Tom Brady. So they're already trying to figure out who your anonymous sources are. Would you care to confirm or deny whether that was Chris Sims?
I couldn't confirm. Oh, come on, Jerry. I mean, you know, I could never talk about anonymous sources and trying to offer any clues as to their identity. I mean, there are a lot of people in this book who are concerned because it's not like I was doing a book on Bill Belichick after he retired, right, after he was no longer with us. He is still very much with us and very much the head coach of the Patriots, and he can be hold a grudge.
A vengeful sort, yes.
Fairly, I mean, ask Eric Mangini. So, I can't talk about anonymous sources. There are a lot of people actually on the record in the book. There were many people who needed to talk only on background. And Bill asked some people not to talk to me, and so it was a very delicate situation.
He did. Bill asked
in a lot of ways, and
he asked all his friends and colleagues to not talk to you?
I don't know about all of them, but I do know for a fact he asked them not to speak with me. He also had some people close to him reach out to others and ask them not to talk. And my suspicion is, and this is just a somewhat educated guess, if Bill is not in control of something, he really doesn't want anything to do with it. So I did not offer him any editorial control in exchange for cooperation or anything of that nature. And so I was not terribly surprised. I was disappointed that he did that, that he reached out to people and asked them not to speak to me. But I knew going in when I signed up for this project, this was going to be the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And it
kind of piggybacks off of Curran's thing about the trade, too, doesn't
it?
If
exactly.
He can't control it, he doesn't want to be a part of it.
Now, what? And I asked you if you were Ian O'Connor, would you say, look, I'm not going to tell you who my sources are, but I can tell you it's not him. He didn't do that.
No, he didn't. But I guess why would you do that? Because then you're not giving up your sources, but if you keep narrowing it down,
but maybe
too,
you're taking one guy off the hook.
Yeah, but you can. All right, maybe it is him, but maybe it's not. Like, it's still unknown. Like, I think most writers would do that. I don't think they would start to let people cross names off a list, and then they can really narrow it down. So I'm not surprised he answered it that way.
I actually found it a kind of a bit amusing in this regard. You know, the title of the book, and Ian O'Connor's book, is Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. And you'd read that and you'd say, oh, my God, this is a very positive uplift. And no, it's not. Now, Ian O'Connor is a sports columnist for ESPN New York. He has written for various media outlets in New York. Let's just say he hasn't exactly been a friend of the Patriots in the past.
But how about Belichick telling people not to help him out with the book?
Why would he want people
to help? I found
that
pretty interesting. I mean, if he's friends with them, maybe you can put some good stuff in there.
Well,
if you trust these guys, maybe you get some good stuff.
And see, my guess is Belichick had a pretty good idea what Ian O'Connor was going to do and what he did do. I mean, what he's done for the most part
is kick
the crap. At least the excerpts that we've seen so far, he's kind of kicked the crap out of Belichick.
But the excerpts it's a long book, and I think that these are the ones that are going to get people kind of interested in it. I bet a lot of the other stuff is, again, the making of the greatest football coach of all time. You can't ignore the Super Bowls. You can't ignore some of the other things that he did. So I'm sure there's going to be positive. The thing about his father that is in there, that was one of the excerpts, was very positive. You know, talking about his father in World War II.
Yeah, but in an attempt to at least give the impression that this isn't a hatchet job. You put that title on it. You give very appropriate credit to Steve Belichick for what he did back in the day. You'd think, well, Bill will like this, and he probably does.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just saying that, but that's in there. But some of the other stuff, and then you can kind of pick sides with some of the other stuff, because some of it is, you know, Brady was upset with how Belichick handled it. All right, well, whose side were you on there? You know, so, I mean, there's obviously some negative to it, but it hasn't been, you know, 40 years of positivity in his football career either.
Ian O'Connor was a columnist at the New York Daily News, the Journal News, the Record. Among the books that he's written in the past includes The Captain, The Journey of Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I did not read that one.
I sort of skipped that one myself. Yeah, I mean, it was on my list.
Yeah.
Sitting on my nightstand, but I just didn't happen to get to it.
Not for me.
Well, it is a bit of a hatchet job, at least the stuff that we've seen so far. And that's probably not a surprise to me.
But that's going to sell books, right?
If you whack Bill Belichick a few times upside the head, yeah.
With anybody. Like, if the whole book is about how, like, oh, look at the 3-4, like, you're going to kind of just sell it to a certain amount of people, aren't you? Like, these are juicy details. Like, you go through Spygate, Deflategate, two cheating scandals in the NFL, Urban Meyer talking about Aaron Hernandez, his relationship with Parcells and Saban, the time with the Giants. So you're reaching out to a lot of people, old school football fans, I mean, with Saban, college football fans, the current, you know, NFL fans. So that's the stuff that's going to sell the book. So I'm not surprised either.
I've always said the best selling football book of all time isn't written yet. But if Bill Belichick, when his career is over, writes the definitive autobiography.
You don't think, what about Ray Lewis?
Oh, no, this is the one. And he has to tell everything. He has to talk about Deflategate, Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler.
I mean, if he tells everything.
If he just writes a short story just on Malcolm Butler, it'd be the highest
this
selling
book. This book will be the best-selling football book of all time. And I have a feeling when all is said and done, he's going to write it.
Yeah, he might.
He's a real fan of football history.
He does like all that stuff, yeah.
And this would be the definitive word. This is what really happened. You know, I don't care what you've read, what you've heard. Here, I'm going to tell you exactly.
They will actually buy it, but they're not going to buy it in the sense that they're like, oh, that's his side of it. Like, that's skewed. You know, people aren't going to.
Oh, people will still buy it.
No, they will purchase the book, but they're not going to take it word for word.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Well, we try as best we can to get everything in over the course of the program, but invariably there are stories that we miss, and we try to catch up on that in a segment here at the end of the program that we like to call...
What else you got?
Dale, what else you got?
I'm going to start with this unbelievable story out of Texas.
All right.
Guy by the name of Lynn Redden, who's the superintendent of the Onalaska School District, about 100 miles north of Houston. So he's in a Facebook group. He's commenting on Facebook in the closing moments of the Houston Texans' loss. You'll remember on the final play of the game, Watson ran out the clock on a short pass. Houston lost 20-17.
Yeah, it was a bad play by Watson.
Oh, it's a terrible play.
Yeah,
but this brain donor commented by saying, when you need precision decision-making, you can't count on a black quarterback.
Oh, my God.
He thought he was responding to a private message. He tried to delete the comment when he realized it was a public post. But another reader, as is always the case, took a screenshot of the exchange, sent it to the Houston Chronicle. Now, interestingly enough, this guy, you know, says, I'm very sorry. I love this. He says he regrets making the comment in a public forum because he only meant for it to be a private
response.
Oh,
that clears things up. Okay,
sir. He says he understands how others might find it racist, but that he didn't intend to make a racist comment. He was merely pointing out the limited success of black quarterbacks.
Right. If they had Nathan Peterman out there, they probably would have won the game.
Yeah, the school district's website posted an agenda for a meeting this Saturday that includes a discussion of, quote, possible action regarding the contract of a school superintendent.
That may be smart. That may be wise.
Bill O'Brien blistered him today, as you might expect.
Of course. I really don't want to, waste a lot of time on responding to outdated, inaccurate, ignorant, idiotic statements.
I mean, you would think that the superintendent of a school district would have a few more brain cells, functioning brain cells rattling around in there rather than post something stupid like that. But no.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in people. So
that's a good point. You have no faith in people.
Well, they keep letting you down.
It's amazing that BS exists. But it does.
It does. Sadly, it does.
All right, Rich.
What
it's your
else
turn.
You got?
Well, mine's not as racist. One of the great love stories of our time, or maybe anyone's time.
Oh boy!
Would of course be adult film star Ciara Mia and former Patriots quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a great love story. This was
they saw each other once, right?
Publicly once.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
Who's to say? Yeah. You tell me if this sounds like somebody that they've only seen each other once. This was following Garoppolo's week one performance where he threw three picks. I think it was TMZ caught up with Ciara Mia and they wanted to see what she thought about him going forward.
Okay, first of all, Jimmy G is a fucking star.
Right.
A star is a star and you can never hold back a star. He's going to come back stronger,
really?
Bigger than he's ever been. I promise you that.
Bigger than he's ever been.
She was talking.
Bigger.
Her words.
She was talking about, I believe, his football
on the
abilities.
Field.
Yeah,
on the field.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Do we know that that's what she...
Does that sound like someone, Dale, that's only gone out on one dinner date?
Is Ciara Mia a mother?
I know she was one of the top MILFs one year, so I would assume yes.
Or was that just the name of the movies?
Could have been the name of the film.
Because listen to the way she describes him.
First of all, Jimmy G is a fucking star.
He's a mother bleeping star.
Yeah.
I don't think she would...
You mean literally?
Really?
You think he's a porn star?
No, that if she's a mother...
Oh, for God's sakes.
Do I have to spell this out for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
She's a mother.
Okay.
If
these two are getting together, you know, in the sheets, maybe horizontally...
Sure.
That would mean he's a mother, you know...
Oh.
Yeah, that was great. I bet you're glad he cleared that up,
yikes.
Aren't you?
Always good when you have to explain your jokes.
Way to end on a high note today, fellas.
Bigger.
There it is.
Yeah, I know. We got to get out of here. Do we ever? While we still have jobs, if we still have jobs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.